Are you kidding? I get to watch golf and they pay me? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are live at the Tour Championship. And, Mike, I was just on 11, had to whisper.
Yes.
Because Victor Hovland was putting. He had a great approach shot. I think he's atop the leaderboard. I haven't seen it because we were making our way up here to the Michelob Club, right? Is this what they're calling it? The Michelob Club?
The Ultra Club Car.
Okay, all right.
On the 17th fairway here at Eastlake.
It's literally right behind the driving range if you're coming out or if you're here. Maybe you're listening to us. Come on by, man. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We've ran into a few listeners already. But I was just – I'm always amazed, and I've been to a ton of golf tournaments in my life, guys, and majors – and I'm just always amazed, Mike, at how easy these guys make it look. I mean, they just make it look easy.
Right, and that's the thing we were watching for a second as we came over here to 17. Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood is up there at the practice green on the driving range, and I'm like, he's tiny.
He's itty-bitty.
How do these guys generate 350 yards of distance with that ball? Now, it's pretty simple. They're keeping the club on plane, and they swing, and they know what they're doing. But it is kind of funny to see some of these guys that are just, I mean, literally pipsqueaks that can just drive the golf ball. The best ball strikers on tour.
They really are, man. Hey, we'll be out here until 6 today, tomorrow until 5, because the Falcons play their third and final preseason game against the Dolphins. And, yes, we will not go another day unless we talk about Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa.
I said it on the pre-show.
Which we will.
I said, can we go one day without talking about Michael Penix Jr.?
No, we cannot. And we got to talk about Frost, right? I mean, come on. What's up, Randy? Jack Frost, baby. We'll get to all of that.
But Randy, by the way, I was accosted by Randy McMichael before the broadcast.
You too?
You got to straighten Carl out.
Yeah.
He goes, when you're the voice of reason, you know the wheels have come off about Jack Strand.
I don't understand it. You said yesterday, very pragmatic approach to this whole ordeal.
Indeed.
And I just simply said, start Frost. He's playing the best. There's no reason to beat around the bush. You guys know it. I know it. But they're afraid to do it. They don't have the balls to do it.
In a million years. Now, again, he may make the practice squad. You know, he may make the – look, if he makes the 53-man roster, I think a lot of Atlanta would be very, very happy. And then this season will play out how it plays out. And then you'll throw this guy in there and we'll see. Guys, there are millions
Week
of guys.
Week one?
No. Millions of guys.
Versus the Steelers?
No. Millions of guys who have done what he's done and have certainly fired up the local fan base because they're just so down on the situation at quarterback. So anything, any other alternative. That's what happened with Dominic Davis. The Falcons in 2010, we had a bad playoff performance against Green Bay. We get beat after having the bye. 2011, we missed the playoffs. And then we got a guy, Dominic Davis, playing quarterback. Guy's like, that's the guy should be starting over Ryan. And then the guy had a cup of coffee in Canada.
He was gone. He was
you know
gone.
What I mean? So there's always that love affair
with
a guy who's doing great things against lesser competition.
Let me tell you something, though. Strand has staying power. Say it with me. Strand has staying power.
Look, I'm not a not. See, I have to be able to say I am a Strand fan. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation. We got to figure out what Penix is for once and for all.
All right. We'll get into this because I got to tell you something. I'm even more concerned now than I was 2 weeks ago in talking about Michael Penix. Mm. I am more concerned. That is on the way.
Your level of concern is heightened.
It's gone from here. If we only had cameras, you'd be able to see me. It's gone from here to here.
Well, I hate to see you like this.
Okay. Here is where it is. It's not down here anymore. Okay. Wow. But before we get to that.
Your arresting level of concern.
Concern.
Is heightened.
Concern. It's right. Here.
All right.
It's not here anymore. It's here. All right.
Yes.
You said you had a dream last night. Tell me about this dream.
I had this crazy dream.
Tell me about this dream.
Braves are playing the Dodgers in my dream, and it's tied up in the ninth. And it's like, who are we going to go to? And Weiss goes, Kim, grab a bat. And
Come
Kim
on.
Goes,
this is a dream, right?
And Kim goes, okay, Skip. And then he goes and grabs the bat. And next thing you know, he delivers a knockoff single, and the team is losing their minds. And the Braves win two in a row against the Dodgers. And Ha-Seon Kim, who hasn't had a hit since I don't know when, is the star.
This was a dream.
It was a dream.
Had to be a dream. I mean, there's no way that could have possibly come true the way this is played out.
Again, with qualifying at-bats, the worst hitter in Major League Baseball. And recently, Major League Baseball history, with the game winner last night, the crowd was electrified. Nobody in there, and I heard Big Bo Johnson, who's producing today, who bartends behind the dish, and he said people literally started leaving when Ha-Seon Kim came up to pinch hit. I'm going to beat the traffic.
As they should have. Mike, I was sitting there last night, and I turned to Michelle. I said, well, this will go into extras. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, game's tied. This guy hadn't hit forever. And she goes, really? I said, no, this is not a good situation. And I'll be damned. The dream is real, Atlanta. He came through. Now, let's just take this as a moment in time. The bigger story is we've owned the Dodgers. We now own the season series. We beat them in this series. That bodes well for us if we need these games when you talk about overall record.
Look, at the end of the day, this is a playoff atmosphere. Look, certainly you don't think the Dodgers, yes, they'll have some more healthier pitchers on their staff, but you don't think that the manager changes his style. This is the way Dave Roberts manages. Hell, he brought in his closer in the eighth inning the other night.
He did.
So they are definitely trying to amp it up and ramp it up against the Braves. So why couldn't it work in October? You know, I mean, I know you and I have spent the entire summer talking about who's our second starter behind Sale, who's going to be the third starter. Heaven forbid we're in that best of three. But all of a sudden, man, if this thing can be built on, Sean Murphy now is hitting. Grant McCauley came on the show yesterday, said he's in a terrible spot. Walt Weiss empathizes. The only way he gets better is more repetition. Fan base doesn't want to see it.
Right.
And the same goes for Kim. All of a sudden now, Sean Murphy's producing. Sean Murphy's having big at-bats. Now all of a sudden, 7-8-9 is now not a desert. Now you're getting production down there.
3-for-4, including a solo shot from Murph. Drake Baldwin, 3-for-4, 2 RBI. Matt Olson, 1-for-3, solo home run. But the star of last night's game, back at the studio, Day-Day, let us hear it.
And Ha-Seong Kim. Line drive, and it's hit! Thomas is coming home! The unlikeliest of heroes, Ha-Seong Kim, has his big moment!
And look, everybody.
I mean, literally, his big moment.
You're
this
right.
is his only moment. Now, hopefully he builds on it, but you cannot argue it was a huge moment.
Well, I was going to say, Mike, if you want to talk about, you know, everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame, that there's his, okay?
And by the way, Tony Gwynn Jr. said that he, when he was in San Diego, he was well-liked in that clubhouse.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. And I wonder if, you know, when a guy is just like a black hole in the lineup and he's just not doing anything, does it cause resentment? Is it a drag? Apparently the guys are, obviously you saw the reaction. The dugout went nuts.
They ripped his shirt off.
Right. I think they're pulling for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle, my wife, was more enamored with that. Why are they pulling his shirt off completely? What is going on out there?
You couldn't be any worse in the world in baseball than Ha-Seong Kim has been until this moment.
Yeah, look, and we make jokes because it's what we do. But congratulations, Ha-Seong Kim. Can you help us along the way here? Can you get a couple of quality hits, some more timely hits for us?
Right. Do likewise.
But it'd be great. I have no expectation for him, Mike, because we've gotten here without him. We have maintained first place all season long without his performances. So for him to add to this, great. But last night, guys, Mike said it. Does it give you a little bit of glimmer, some hope that this is, in fact, a World Series team? And by the way, screw the Dodgers. I know they spent all this money and all this stuff. I don't care.
No guarantee, baby. No guarantee.
I don't care. 404-726-0929, A.J. Smith Sharver. 3 earned runs, 5 hits. Again, we're trying to still figure that part of this out.
Right.
He struck out 3 through 5 innings. But, you know, the Marlins, or should I say the Phillies, did defeat the Marlins. So they're now 4.5 back with our win.
Now, for what it's worth, Dodgers, we're 2 games behind the Dodgers in the loss column, 4 games behind the Brewers in the loss. If there's any way we could get that bye. You know, in years past, I know there's been different versions of the Braves where sometimes the layoff, they felt, hurt them.
Yep.
But I got to be honest, that best of three scares me. I don't want any part of that.
With any team?
Yeah, whether it's the Padres or the Phillies. Yeah. I just don't like that because you've taken a team which has basically went wire to wire in first place and marginalized it in a best of three.
I agree.
Last time the Braves were in a best of three was 1969, you know, before they played the Padres two years ago.
Right.
And that's when they first went to the, you can look it up, when they first went to the NLCS because they never had that before. It was just best of three.
Yeah, I never liked it. I never liked the five, to be honest with you. I was always a proponent and I would ask people, especially managers when I was covering baseball, like, what do you think about this? And everybody's temperament on this, Mike, was you play 162 games and then you have a bad series and you're done, like 2 games and you're done. And, and it never just appealed to any guys I talked to. They were like, man, the season's so long. I feel like you should go into that first series in a 7-game series. Give me a chance to at least prove it. Because, guys, anybody can have 2 bad games.
Problem is baseball and the grab for money, more and more of these playoffs, more teams are alive, more fans still interested in going after the kids go to school, and that perpetuates more action and ratings in September and October. But, you know, the only way you could do that is you're playing baseball to Thanksgiving.
True.
Like, carve the turkey, it's time for the World Series, you know. So you have to do it in an abridged series, but I'm with you. It just doesn't seem fair.
Hey, guys, we're out here at the Tour Championship. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Day-Day, let's hear Walt Weiss talk about Kim and what he came through, when he came through last night and what he had to say.
So happy for Kim. You know, obviously, the circumstances have been really difficult for him. This is a guy that was an elite player in this league, and you know, he's been trying to catch up all year, and it's been tough to find him reps here since he came back with Doobie playing like he was. And man, I'm so happy for Kim. I mean, he never pouted. He's been working his ass off, and gets a moment like that, it's just poetic justice, you know, for that to happen. So really happy for him.
Team game.
Just an amazing win.
It's a team game. And Walt Weiss, that's the statement there. Right. I will say this. It has put Walt in a very interesting situation as the manager to know this guy's making a lot of money,
right,
yet he's not hitting, and do what's best for the team. Hey, I cannot just keep running this guy
out
there.
Well, the GM's not cutting him. They're not just going to eat the contract. You know, I've been screaming for the last few months, just get rid of him. Forget it. Now, again, this doesn't, believe me, this does not validate Kim, one big hit and getting a walk-off. But if this could be something that leads to something.
$20 million?
Guys, he's a bust. He's right up there with Jurickson Profar because he's given you nothing all season. I know a freak injury to his hand and his digit, and that put him behind the eight ball. Yeah. And then, you know, again, Mateo hit till he didn't. You know, Jimmy Baseball hit until he didn't. Dubon is certainly solid. But, you know, Kim, it'd be a hell of a thing if Kim, because, guys, pinch hitting is the hardest thing in baseball. It's the hardest thing in sports. Hitting is the hard. We talked about this on our pre-show. Hitting is hard. You got to be in a rhythm where you don't get a chance to do it every game. Sorry, bullpen. I'm sorry, hitting under the bleachers or, you know, getting the cage. It's not the same.
No.
And if this can lead to something, yes, please. Because that would be literally the ultimate gravy. Because let's be honest, at this point, you're expecting nothing from this cat.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. You are more than welcome to chime in. We have a little glimmer, okay? We've had our doubts. We certainly still have some things we've got to figure out. But the talent is on this team. And Mike said it today. I feel like this is a team that could get to the World Series. But I will say this. It's still going to come back for me to hitting in clutch moments like last night.
Right.
That's the playoffs, guys. And we could get there, and all of a sudden the starting pitching is doing their job. But if we're not hitting, Acuna's not showing up, or Olsen is not, Mike, or Riley, we're done. And that's the part about this where I want to see that continue to can get progressively right, better and consistent. All right, man, we got a lot to talk about. When we come back, I'm even more worried about him now than I was 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
We'll let you hear why.
Who's him?
When we return on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Tour Championship. Tour Championship leaderboard update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisor, and Bobby Jones. To everyone, and by Twin Peaks, eat, drinks, and scenic views. Let's get you caught up on the leaderboard before we get into anything else, because that's why we're here, Mike Bell.
Yes, playing for the big money, Carl, here at Historic East Lake, the home of Bobby Jones as a golfer, learning the game, walking these very same grounds. All right, man, Victor Hovland at 5-under. We're on 17th fairway. Look across, you can see 13th. And that's where Victor is right about now. He's at 5-under along with Minwoo Lee from Australia. Adam Scott, another country heard from. Aussie boys.
Here we go.
Former Masters winner also in the mix at 4-under at 15. Robert McIntyre from Scotland at 3-under. Alex Smalley from the USA, 3-under. British Open winner Ryan Fox. He of the very quick approach. We love the way he plays golf. Get in, get out. Nobody gets hurt. He's playing well, Carl. 2-under with two holes left. Tom Kim at 2-under. What about the Americans? Well, let's get to him. We got Gary Woodland at 2-under. Akshay Bacha at 2-under. Xander Schauffele at 2-under. Colin Morikawa, 2-under. Patrick Cantlay at 1-under. In case you're wondering, as Carl's about to say, what's up with
Scotty Scheffler?
Well, again, if you're that good, you're the last guy to go out. Scotty Scheffler even through one. Rory at 1-over.
Oh.
And he's on 6, so he's struggling. Everybody's scoring right now who's been out there for an hour or two. Wyndham Clark at 1-over through 2, and Cameron Young 1-over through 2 as well.
I think that Rory's situation is carrying over from what we saw at the BMW.
Yeah.
Right? Had a chance Sunday. Obviously, you know, blows it, and then he comes in here, and I hadn't seen him physically on the course as I was making my rounds today, walking around. But, Mike, I did see earlier this morning, as they teed off, should I say, and he's missing the same easy putts. I say easy.
Right.
Right?
By his standards.
By his standards. Off to the edge. He's reading it right, but it's just a little bit off. So we'll see if that gets better for Rory, but we'll keep you updated throughout the course of the day. We're live out here, guys, till 6 o'clock. More on the Braves. We ran into a bunch of Braves fans. They were like, yo, give Kim his love, man. We did.
I said, we started the show. I mean, look, he's still got about, I don't know, 75 demerits to work his way up if you're back in Catholic school. Okay, we need more of that. If you could rinse and repeat that, all of a sudden now we then you get to play shortstop every once in a while.
Cool. Yeah, now you get to be on the field.
Look, I did feel bad because I've been killing him. Look, deservedly so. When we talked to Tony Gwynn Jr. yesterday, and he said, no, he's really well-liked in the clubhouse. He's a good dude. He's just in this, I mean, again, one bad thing has led to another, but not being able to start the season and then not being able to get on the field. He has no rhythm at the plate. So last night was just you can't underscore how huge it was.
It was a big moment, man, no doubt. And again, if this was against the last place team,
right?
Maybe it doesn't feel as good. It's still a walk-off. But
right.
The fact that it was the Dodgers,
right,
the magnitude of the game, the series, and what this may mean for the playoffs, it was a big deal.
Right.
All right, I don't know if he's in his car yet, but if he is, maybe he's on one of these shuttle buses going back to the parking lot. Randy, close your ears. Because we got to talk about this, Mike. And it leads back to Frost. But before I get to him, I am more concerned now than I was 2 weeks ago with Michael Penix Jr. And it has nothing to do with the physical ailment, guys. He's healed. You guys want to say it with me like a Southern Baptist preacher?
He's healed.
He's healed. He's been healed. His leg works perfectly. His knee is replaced.
Leave those crutches and walk.
He can walk.
Walk, Michael Penix, walk.
He's healed.
Now run.
Okay.
Now back up under center and hand the ball off in a play action.
That's
now,
right.
So that's a lot for
that's right.
A minister to
that's
say.
That's where it's going down. He's fine physically. Mentally, I think he's screwed up.
Right.
So yesterday.
You don't think he's right.
Mike, and here's the point that
what
I will get to.
What do you base this on?
Okay. Yesterday, when asked about not playing in this final preseason game, he gave arguably the worst answer that he could possibly give when it comes to a professional athlete. Now, I've been around professional athletes my entire life, okay? I've met everybody, right. You name them. And I've seen guys at the highest level and how they compete, and I've seen busters come into leagues and not do a damn thing and make a lot of money. The one common denominator from all these guys that are up here is they want to compete, and you right. have to find a way to keep right. them off the court, the right. field, the course, the pitch. And Michael Penix said this yesterday when asked about, well, you know, you're ready to go, right?
Nah, it's soon. I only had 3 practices, right. 11 on. I don't want to go out there and do that, you know, but I feel good, though, you know. But that's at the same time, you know, like I said, I only had 3 practices.
I can't stand that. I'm sorry, guys, if you're going to say, what do you expect him to say? I don't like to hear that. It's like you're resigned to your fate. I just don't like it. It's just counterintuitive to where I think we should be. I think you just laid it out there. You know, you're fighting to get back on the field. I understand, like, when you've gone through all the injuries he has, I argued this yesterday with a guy on Twitter. He's like, look, man, he knows his body. Okay. I mean, that is about as mellow a fellow as you can be. I mean, he's not from California. He's from Tampa, okay? It's not like it's like, hey, bro. You know, it's like, hey, Bodie, what's going on with you in the Hawaiian Nationals? I'm not ready, bro. I can't tackle the pipeline until my Achilles is 100. Doc says it's not ready, bro. So I'm just going to kick it in Waikiki until I'm ready. I expect that from a pro surfer. I do not expect that from an NFL quarterback.
It's a great way to put it. And look, he should be
right
telling us that he wants to choke Kevin Stefanski out.
To get on the field.
To get on the field.
Game, right?
I am itching to get out there and throw it to my man Drake and Kyle and Bijan.
Right.
Guys, trust me. I'm begging Coach every day to get out there. But Coach has got to make the decision.
Play that soundbite.
And Mike, here's the problem I have with it. Michael Penix is already telling us, no, I'm not ready. He is, you're right. He is a guy that's in his own head. And the problem with this is, let the team and the coach say no.
Right. I don't want to hear it from you.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it from you. You should always be like, man, if I ain't out there this week, I'm going to have a problem.
And for all the Penix fans out there telling us he's going to start the season, play that soundbite one more time back at the ranch. Listen
nah,
to this.
Nah, it's soon. I only had 3 practices, right. 11 on. I don't want to go out there and do that, you know, but I feel good, though. You know, but that's at the same time, you know, like I said, I only had 3 practices.
When he says I don't want to go out there and do that, he's talking about playing in this preseason game.
Yeah, I just don't. Okay. I don't understand. It goes against everything we've learned about competition, other than he has been shell-shocked because of all the injuries he's had to go through. And he knows if he hurts one more time, his career is over. He gets one more injury. If he gets hurt, he's not coming back. They're going to – again, this organization drafted him, but this group didn't draft him. Who wasn't drafted by Ian Cunningham or Matt Ryan? So, I mean, I don't know. I've never heard that from a guy in that position before. We've heard other guys, hockey players, other sports, where they go, yeah, man, I'm itching to get out. You know, I told the doctor, screw that. I'm ready. And I'm not hearing that aggressiveness.
You're healed.
Yeah, it's a mindset. I mean, look, if
you're – the knee is healed.
If you're a appendix guy, you're a appendix guy. Tell me you hear that and you don't go, oh, come on, man. Come on. As they say on SNL, what up with that?
What up with that? 404-726-0929.
Right.
I have an issue with that, and I have a bigger problem with Michael Penix not pressing it.
Right.
I'm sorry. No, and by the way, does three practices turn into four, and four turns into six, and six turns into – well, man, I've only been out there for eight practices. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm not hearing the aggressiveness that I should expect from a guy battling for his NFL career.
Nah.
Come on, Mike.
I mean, you know, can I be honest with you? I expect that from an NBA player. I don't expect that from an NFL player. When it's an 82-game season, and I got an NBA player going, you know, like when Shaq or whoever would go, yeah, you know, season starts in 2 weeks. Now's the time to have that cleanup procedure.
Because, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It don't really matter until we get to the All-Star break.
Exactly.
I expect that mindset from an NBA player. I just don't expect that from an NFL, let alone a quarterback, okay. A leader of the team.
There you go. The face of the franchise.
Nah, man. You know, I'm not ready for that.
That's
to play Friday night?
No, I'm good.
Man.
No, I'm good.
That tree only had three of these 11 on 11s.
Who's?
That's bull, man. You know what? Now I was thinking you were overreacting. Now you've got me all hot.
And
I'm fired up.
And this leads us to, Randy, close your ears, Jack Frost. Okay?
Jack Strand.
At least he's not running from the moment. He's not afraid of this. I feel like Penix is just – he's setting barriers for himself that,
right.
Mike, they shouldn't be there.
No, I just – I think when you look at this, and we're not psychologists, we're certainly not orthopedists, but it's just –
I can be a psychologist with this.
It's not the mindset you want to hear. I mean, like, for instance, I had vocal cord surgery.
You did.
Right? I got one thing in my life. I got my pipes, and it was supposed to be 4 weeks. I came back after three. Doctor says if you can handle it, if you think you can, you know, follow the therapy, but, you know, I came back early.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like I was afraid of, you know, Andy Wally pipping me, and I'm, you know – but it just you have a dedication to your work, and you feel like so stir crazy not be out there. And I don't know. Maybe it's a poor analogy, but the closest I've got from my own experience.
Yeah,
look, I just don't get the mindset.
And when I heard it last night, I just simply said, "Bro, you want this job? Like, for real?
Nah.
No. You want this job?
You know what?
Because if you wanted this job." I'm screaming to get out there. I literally am forcing Matt Ryan and Kevin Stefanski and Ian Cunningham to call me into his office,
right.
Sit my ass down and say, hey, look, kid, you know what? We love you. But that's not the sense. That's not the sense I get, Mike. Yeah. I almost get the sense as if they're going, how you feeling today, Mike?
No.
You know, it's been three practices.
You going to school today, Jimmy?
Been three.
You know, Dad, I still got that sore throat. He's Ferris Bueller. That's it. It's Michael Penix's day off. I really don't think I should go in my present condition.
Unbelievable.
I really... Yeah, Mary at the keyboard.
Coughing. Yeah. Ferris is really sick.
Michael Penix's day off. I mean, I'm getting frustrated with this
and
now.
And you should. And Randy, close your ears.
I don't like it, man.
I'm sorry.
It's not the fighting spirit I need to hear.
And this is why you roll Frost out there. 404-726-0929. All right.
I want to see... I will say this. If they can not play Cooper Rush, but they won't, they're going to play him. I'd love to see Strand against the highest level of competition.
Mike, he'll go 10 for 10 for 150 yards and two touches in the first half.
He's going to be up against guys who are filling up forms at the post office in another week. That's the problem.
He'll run for one and throw for one, Mike.
Yes, but again, against guys who won't be playing pro football this time next week. Cuts come down in 3 days.
All right. Coming back, we're live at the Tour Championship. I know you guys think we're crazy. You think I'm crazy.
I don't know anybody who can listen to that and not be a little upset or at least confused. I'm confused by your take.
All right, man. We are live at the Tour Championship.
Now you got me all fired up now.
And you should be. You know what I want to hear from the franchise quarterback? I'll tell you when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is still the biggest year ever for soccer in Atlanta. Be sure to join Jason Longshore every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news, plus he's keeping tabs on the international soccer scene. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast.
Meet a lot of listeners today. Really cool here in the Mick Ultra tent. It's a really cool party scene, so join the party. It's our Mick Ultra. It's Ultra Lounge kind of vibe here off 17. Just ran into a guy, Carl, his big listener, wearing his Falcons pullover that he got as part of being a season ticket holder this year. I've gone for the cowboy hat.
You like that one?
Well, I figured it'd be goofy to wear in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be that guy, because last year in Germany, our buddy Fireman Ken was wearing a Falcons hard hat.
Okay.
And the Germans were looking at this thing like it was the Rosetta Stone. Like, oh, what this looks. Taking pictures. People wanted to try it on. So I figured the cowboy hat will be a conversation starter next year.
Yeah, man. It'll be fun. The Falcons have done a good job. I've seen some of the gifts that they're getting, season ticket holders are getting.
And they're delivered like right now, this week and next week.
Yeah, so it's cool, man, and they're doing a good job with that. And the thing is, we want to be excited about our team. If you're just joining us, just reacting to what I thought was a disappointing comment from Michael Penix. Guys, it doesn't define him as far as what his life or what his career is going to be. But when you talk about a franchise quarterback, you have to exude confidence and, more importantly, leadership. Leadership is, I want to be out there with my guys every single chance I get. And I know he's coming off of this injury, but even if he wasn't going to play this Friday, which he obviously knew he wasn't, I'm still scraping and scrapping to get back on the field and tell everybody, yeah, man, you know I want to play. You know I want to be out there. Coaches are keeping me out. Put it on them.
Right.
Stop making it about you and the fact that, well, I'm not ready. Or, nah, you know I only had X amount of practices. I just think it's a cop-out.
That's the thing. Only had 3 days, 11 on 11. I mean, it's like we had guys that were pumping him. He's ready. He's been doing 7-on-7. Now the man just says, I only had 3 days, 11-on-11.
That's right.
Darnell hits up on the text line and goes, I'm rooting for Penix, but that's weak. He's got to adjust his attitude.
Of course.
Jimmy says, you guys literally are making something out of nothing. He's listening to his doctors. You know what? Softy. I guess you follow doctor's orders, too, to the letter.
Let me tell you something, Jimmy. Let me give you a little bit of assignment, if you have time. I want you to go watch a documentary called The Last Dance. I want you to go to about episode 3, maybe 2, when Michael Jordan gets hurt. And how they had to keep him physically off the court.
Right.
With a damn cast on. And how he was so committed to getting the Bulls in the playoffs every year since he was drafted that he's fighting the front office to play. There's something to be said about it. Larry Bird did it. I can go down the list of all these great players, guys. And in football, it happens as well. They try to hide these injuries. Guys are playing hurt all the damn time. Trust me. So this idea of like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Bullcorn.
No. And look, it's one thing. You can't have it both ways either. Sometimes if a player plays and he struggles and then he wants to cop out, well, I was hurt. Well, you can't do that either. If you're on the field, what do you always say? If you're on the field, you got to bring it. You know, if you're on the field, you got to give me your game. And there's no excuses. But this is just one, as I said, if you feel about – as like sports, if you competed, everyone out there has probably competed at something, I want to believe. Maybe you're like me, you never got any farther than high school with some sports.
Dominoes.
But you compete. You play golf with your boys.
It doesn't matter.
It's a mindset. And a lot of guys, believe me, we can't even do a poll question day on that. You know, is Michael Penix's take disappointing to you? Because I think a lot of folks hear that and go, it's just not what I expect to hear from an elite athlete.
No. And the coach saying it, and by the way, let's play Kevin Stefanski. When coach was asked why he's not playing, this is an answer I expect from coach. I do not expect my starting quarterback, and again, I'm using the franchise quarterback because that's what you drafted him for.
Just got back to team.
A lot of you, sorry, Dede, a lot of you feel like he is going to be the franchise quarterback. I never heard Matt Ryan, who was rarely hurt, ever say.
That's one thing about Matt. You never really had to worry about that because other than turf toe in 2009, guy was always money. And even then he played.
But Mike, we've never heard him say, nah, you know what? I know it's been a struggle this week, but I'm not ready. It's just a mindset. Let me hear coach.
Yeah, just got back to team drills on Monday, so just felt to keep the focus on these 3 days and see how I came out of it. And again, you guys can talk to him, but I think he did well.
Well, I'm glad he's doing well. We'd like to see his well on the field.
Right.
And eventually, that's going to happen. Let me ask you something in regards to this final preseason game, and we'll get into the specifics tomorrow about some things we're watching. There are some guys we're still watching, guys, that need to try to make a nice run to make this team. Do you feel like Tua is playing for a roster spot?
Yeah, I don't think it's a done deal that Tua makes this team. I think you certainly have the interest. Now, again, I want to temper this. I think we got to find a roster spot. We were just going over it, man. It's hard to get this team down to 53 men. Is Cash Jones going to be a practice squad guy? How many defensive tackles are you going to have in the rotation? Do you have enough guys? You know, is your wide receiver room going to be five guys? Is it going to be six guys? Things like that.
I'm going to tell you why I think Cash Jones makes this team. And if he doesn't, I'm an idiot. Name another player on this roster that does all the things Cash does. As an undrafted free agent.
I mean, other than Bijan, but he's not going to play special teams.
Correct.
This guy can play special teams, emergency wide receiver, emergency running back.
And everything else.
Right.
Like, you could throw
Gunner
him in.
Gunner and anything else you need there on your special teams.
Those guys are hard to find. So his versatility allows him to be on the roster, Mike. And, oh, we need a backup running back, Cash. We need a backup slot. He could literally do those things.
Versatility, you know, all that kind of multiplicity, as they say, can get you a job and keeps you in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, remember Kadarryl Hodge?
That's right. We loved him.
That's the same thing. Swiss Army knife guy.
Great point. All right. I don't know. I feel like they're not going to cut Tua. I know some people feel like he's just, you know, he had, what, nine plays?
But it's going to be very – I think it's – I mean, I don't want to make overhype it, but I think it's important he has a good outing.
I do too.
Out here and stinks it up and he misses a snap. I mean, people are gonna be losing their minds.
Well, if that happens, and I think the public sentiment will be he deserves to be cut and Jack Frost Strand deserves to be on the roster, right? And so then you're telling me it would be Penix, Rush, and Strand,
right?
You're fine with that's okay, because
Rush,
again, you're a play away from either one of those
guys.
And that's
why the thing with Tua is, like, I think Tua would really have to – Deshaun Watson looked like crap. They've already now anointed him the starter in Cleveland. I don't think Tua doesn't make this team, but I still think from a fan standpoint, and I got to imagine on some level, Stefanski looks at it and says, who's got a better grasp of this offense? Remember, Cooper got a late start.
Yeah.
Jack Strand got all the snaps early on because nobody was here. Tua had a bad back those first 4 or 5 days. Jack Strand's intriguing. As we said, guys, we don't want you to think it's an absolute. We love this guy's game. We're just telling you the realities of a four-string undrafted quarterback to become Kurt Warner. You know, but here's the thing. Kurt Warner blew doors so well to impress Dick Vermeil to carry him on the roster that he was there to step in when Trent Green got hurt.
And then took advantage of it. That opportunity came along.
And I'm sure they were having the same conversation in St. Louis about who the hell is Kurt Warner. But fans are probably losing their minds over his performances.
Well, you know, once you get out there, man, if you can perform, and that's the thing.
But the odds are against you. It's literally 1,000-to-1 shot.
To become a starter.
From that position,
yes,
right.
To become a bona fide starter. It's the Purdy story. Guys,
yep.
Mr. Relevant doesn't become the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. They had three guys in front of him.
Right.
So it's the circumstances and all the things that play out. But just from a talent standpoint, you feel like you've seen enough with him that he has all the skills. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. That whole question about tomorrow being like the most important thing for Tua, I don't know. Mike, you bring up a valid point. Like, he would really have to wet the bed. Two bad picks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd have to be really
It would
ugly.
Have to be so bad that, like, Matt Ryan, I mean, again, or Ian Cunningham's talking, is there, you know, that's why I wish we were on Hard Knocks. That's the part I love to see, where they have everybody, all the coaches around the big table.
Talking about guys.
And they're talking about the depth chart and who's going to make the cut and the arguments pro and for each guy. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you listening. You're the man, brother.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. That's awesome, man. We have the best listeners in town, and they're getting down at the Mick Ultra Party Tent.
That they are. What was that guy having?
I don't know.
And by the way, what do I have to do to get one of these tumblers, man?
You know the drill. By the way, we had this discussion. If you want to get the tumbler, it's a collector's item. They're awesome. I've got, over the years, I've got about 15 of these.
It's a lot.
And the wife has said there is no more room. My cousin Tony's in town. And Tony was going, I got a whole drawer of these things. They bust out. I got no more room for this place. But if you haven't had one, it's the ultimate cocktail for your pool, for your boat, for your, you know, for your tailgate. And it's you purchase your alcoholic beverage here at East Lake, and you get to take this sucker home.
Yeah. It's like a concert, guys. You know, it's a collector's cup, right?
Yeah, but it looks great. It's
but,
very
but,
cool.
But these keep your ice cold and your drinks cold. But I will say, every year we've come out here, I've collected a couple. And to your point, I don't have any more room. Matter of fact, my issue is finding the right damn top for the tumbler that I'm using that day.
It's like a sock drawer. Where's the left? The other thing is, I talked to Bunky about this, Andy Bunker, we're just like, I'm not going into the PGA Tour Superstore tent. I'm not.
I don't need anything.
I can't.
You guys have stole
you can't,
so much money
from me.
Because
you cannot get out of there for under $250.
It's unbelievable.
And then it's like, if you guys have been to the Masters, it's the same thing. It's just an amazing selection. Every year they got these really cool T-shirts, cool logos, the peach logo. It's amazing. Not doing it.
No, I'm with you.
I say that now.
No, look, I said the same thing when I got
I'll
here.
Be in there tomorrow.
Because it's the first thing I wanted to do when I got here on the grounds. I was like, oh, look, it's Victor Hovland. Where's the store? So, yeah, man, I'm with you.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of Victor, Minwoo Lee now at 6-under through 14 as Victor Hovland stroke back. He's on 15 now at 5-under. Ryan Fox, British Open winner.
Here we go.
The Thunder from down under and over in New Zealand. That dude is at 4-under, man. I got a chance to watch about three or four holes before he wrapped up. And he finished. He's done. He's at 4-under. I got to see him on the back nine. Love his style, man. Boom, hit it. Step up. Boom, hit it.
Yeah.
None of this 60 seconds addressing the ball.
You know what else I like about
Nonsense.
Him? He looks like us.
Yes, got a gut.
He's a gut. He's got a gut. He looks like us.
You know what? He looks like the guys I used to play rugby with. He's got that body.
Yeah, man.
He's
not cut.
Man to man.
He's not cut. But yeah.
He's not wearing a schmedium. He's not wearing a Sears 18 to 20.
I agree. All right, man.
Or 16 to 18.
We're Dukes and Bell. We're live out here at the Tour Championship. Enjoying it, having a good time. We got a lot more to dive into. We will talk more about the Falcons, but the Tua starts in this, or at least his play in this final preseason game, is going to matter.
I think he's got to have we don't know what the evaluation is. They might already. Here's the thing. They might be here, like, for instance, Stefanski views his car is like, look at these idiots. Hardy, har, har. Penix ain't going to be ready for Pittsburgh. Tua is my starting quarterback based on experience.
And that's where I've been all along.
And that's where it's going to be.
That's what I believe.
Much to do about nothing. I think that's what we're going to get.
That's what I truly believe.
And when I hear Michael Penix go, only had 3 11-on-11s, then you're not going to be ready for the Steelers. Thanks, brother. To hear Michael Penix say that just blows my mind.
Yeah, you don't want that mindset out there. You don't want that mindset.
All right, so season starts in, 2.5 weeks?
Yes, it does.
Where's your head at?
Yeah, and it's 2 weeks enough time for him to get right. Guys, and again, I just don't know how to explain this to you without some of you getting outraged, but the fact of the matter is, like, once your body is working the way it should, you can't have these mental blocks. Because once that happens, Mike, now you're fighting yourself.
Yeah.
And the point I'm telling you is, Michael told us a week or two ago, maybe 10 days, doctor told me my knee is completely healed and I won't ever have another problem with it ever.
That, I heard that. Okay. Well, then let's get on your magic knee and let's go. Magic legs, Lieutenant Dan.
He's healed. That's what I don't understand.
And, guys, we know about Michael Penix. You've heard our interviews with him. We've gotten to know him over the years. And I just don't know if this is a guy who's just – is this the cumulative effects of all these knee injuries? This is where your head is at.
Oh, I do think that's it, Mike. Look.
You've been through more rehab than anybody listening.
Cautious is one thing. He is almost to the point where he's apprehensive to even want to test it. Like Friday, right? Let me just go test it for a series. And I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to wait and wait and wait. And my whole thing is, when is the perfect time? I remember when we were trying to have a baby. And my mom said to me, boy, there is no perfect time.
Right. It happens. You
think you're going to be rich one day? You think you're going to have everything in life figured out? And I said, no, you're right. There is no perfect time. Everyone who has a child out there, you know this. You either had kids young, you had them late, you had them early. But guess what? You had them and things were fine.
And you adapt and you do it.
And that's what happens. This idea, like, there's this perfect time for him and his knee and his mental. Give me a break, man.
Here's what the audience is saying. Ty, I might be Batman Jones.
Okay.
He should not have said that. Capital letters, not. However, he is learning a new system. So I get the three practice comments in the context of learning the system. But at least pretend like you want to play. And coach said, nope, nope, nope. Josh B. of the back-to-back national champs, Georgia boy. He's a Georgia boy.
Okay.
He says, to hear this from a potential franchise QB, parentheses, who was cleared by doctors, tells me that our QB for next year and beyond is not currently in the building.
Oh, my God.
He's not on Strand's jock yet. Penix exudes very little confidence to the fan that he's capable of being the man in this role.
Well, last year, and again, we don't want to – this is not a pile-on session. We're just
– and it's what the audience is saying.
That's right.
You guys, you can call – by the way, feel free at 404-726-0929, Carl. If you hear that, does that not give you pause, even if you're the dying-the-wool Penix guy?
I would hope it does. I just think also, when we talk about this, There were times last year when we knew he wasn't playing with a lot of confidence. Many of us put it on the offensive coordinator. Maybe it was Michael Penix. It's Dukes and Bell live at the Tour Championship.